Welcome to another episode of My Weird Prompts, an AI-generated podcast featuring the random prompts of Daniel Rosehill as answered by a revolving cast of friendly AI characters. Join us for deep dives into AI, technology, and whatever other random thing Daniel finds fascinating today. Subscribe on Spotify or your favorite podcatcher. Now, today's episode.
This episode was generated using artificial intelligence. Please verify facts. Here's Daniel's prompt.
Hello there, Herman and Korn. So two topics that are immensely important in AI engineering are context and memory. So there was a lot of interest, at least initially, in RAG, retrieval augmented generation, in which AI systems are supplemented their own limited understanding of the world, which mightn't have either specific data or non-public data. So companies were, you know, using it to add their internal data and giving an AI model a way to find that information. Recently, there's been some, I read a good paper about context degradation and the pitfalls of RAG, showing that actually it's not really that easy to add a significant volume of external information as we thought to AI systems. So I think there's some, I wouldn't say that interest in RAG is dying off, but that it's not as easy as maybe it was initially presented as. The other topic that is extremely important is that of memory. Out of the box, an AI tool is not going to have any memory beyond a conversation, which is basically a session in technical terms. And that very quickly becomes frustrating if you're talking to a model and you kind of, you know, share some information about yourself. That information is available to you within the context of that thread, but as soon as you start a new conversation, it doesn't know who you are or anything about you. And in the early days of conversational AI, that caused a lot of understandable frustration because you could spend as much time, I think when there was such enthusiasm about it and people were using it all the time, you might tell an AI model 20 times in a day the same information about who you are, where you live, in order to contextualize your responses. So OpenAI, who's and that feature is commonly presented to users as allow AI to reference your past chat history. Now, under the hood, which is always a different story than how these features appear to in tools like ChatGPT, where it seems like it's something just, you know, easy and it's baked in, is a little bit more work. We have some memory projects like MemZero and other ones that provide the lightweight memory layer, which, as far as you understand, is generally a vector-based memory store. So you're going back to vectors and storing information in that kind of AI native way, technologies like Qtrint and Pinecone. Now, my question for you is that on the surface, there is a lot of similarities between the two concepts. In both cases, we're storing information in a vector store. We're connecting the AI model to that vector store. And it kind of makes me wonder sometimes, hang on a second, if we're already doing this in a specific AI application, let's say we're using Qtrint or Pinecone to provide RAG, why don't we just create a new namespace there for user data and we'll do the memory layer there? Why do we need to add the complexity of a separate system for what seems like sometimes a very similar process? Over to you.
Hey everyone, welcome back to My Weird Prompts. We are sitting here in Jerusalem. The sun is just starting to dip behind the hills, and I am joined, as always, by my brother.
Herman Poppleberry, at your service. And man, do we have a meaty one today. Our housemate Daniel actually sent this over. He was tinkering with some new agentic workflows this morning, and got into a bit of a philosophical tangle regarding how we actually build long-term intelligence into these systems.
Yeah, Daniel is always the one to find that specific point of friction where the engineering meets the theory. Today's topic is something that I think every developer and AI enthusiast has hit at some point. It is the distinction, or perhaps the lack thereof, between context and memory.
It is a fascinating space, Korn. We have moved so far past the early days of just sending a single prompt and getting a single answer. Now we are talking about systems that need to know who you are, what you did 3 months ago, and what is inside a 10,000-page technical manual, all at the same time.
Exactly. And the question Daniel is posing is a really sharp one. If we are already using vector stores like QDrant or Pinecone for retrieval augmented generation, which everyone calls RAG, why are we making things complicated by having a separate system for user memory? Why not just throw it all in the same vector database, give it a different namespace, and call it a day?
It sounds so elegant when you put it that way, right? One database to rule them all. But as we have seen over the last year, especially moving into 2026, the devil is in the details of how these models actually process that information.
I want to dig into that devil. But first, let's set the stage for anyone who might be a little fuzzy on the terminology. We are talking about two different ways an AI gets information it was not originally trained on. ARAG is usually about external knowledge, like a company's internal documents. Memory is more about the personal, the user-specific stuff.
Right. Think of RAG as the library the AI can go look things up in, and memory as the AI's own personal diary about its relationship with you. Now, technically, both of those things can be turned into numbers, which we call embeddings, and stored in a vector database.
And that is where the confusion starts. If they are both just vectors in a store, why the separation? I mean, we discussed digital fingerprinting just last week in episode 250, and that touched on how systems identify and track user behavior. This feels like the next logical step. How do we store that identity?
It really does. And to Daniel's point, you absolutely can just use a namespace. For those who do not know, a namespace in a vector database is basically just a way to partition your data so you are only searching through a specific subset. You could have a namespace for technical docs, a namespace for HR manuals, and a namespace for Korin's personal preferences.
So if I can do that, what is the catch? Why are projects like MemZero or the native memory features in OpenAI's latest models being treated as a separate architectural layer?
Well, it comes down to how the information is retrieved and, more importantly, how it is maintained. When you are doing RAG on a library of documents, that data is mostly static. You embed the documents once, you update them occasionally, and you retrieve them based on semantic similarity to the user's current question.
But memory is not static. Memory is a conversation.
Precisely. Memory is a living thing. If you just treat memory as a collection of vectors in a namespace, you run into the problem of relevance versus importance. Just because I said something similar to what I am saying now 3 weeks ago does not mean it is the most important thing for the AI to remember.
That is a great point. Semantic search, which is what vector stores excel at, finds things that are similar in meaning. But in a conversation, the most relevant thing might not be the most semantically similar thing. It might be the most recent thing, or the thing I emphasized with the most emotion, or a correction I made to a previous statement.
Exactly. If you just use a flat vector store namespace for memory, you end up with what I call the echo chamber effect. The AI keeps pulling up old versions of your preferences that might have changed. Memory requires a layer of logic that says, okay, the user just told me they moved from New York to Jerusalem, so I need to deprecate the old location data and prioritize the new one. A standard vector store does not do that automatically. You have to build a management layer on top of it.
So the complexity Daniel is seeing, that separate system is actually that management layer?
Mostly yes, but there is also the issue of context degradation, which Daniel mentioned in his prompt. This is something we have been seeing a lot of research on lately. Even as context windows have grown to millions of tokens in 2026, the models still struggle with the middle of the document or with having too much irrelevant noise in the prompt.
I remember reading about that. the lost in the middle phenomenon. If you cram the context window with a bunch of RAG results and a bunch of memory results, the model starts to lose the thread of what is actually important.
It really does. And if you are pulling everything from the same vector store using the same retrieval logic, you are likely to overflow that context window with high-dimensional noise. By separating the memory layer, you can use different strategies. For example, you might use a knowledge graph for memory to understand relationships between concepts while using a standard vector search for the RAG knowledge base.
That makes sense. It is about using the right tool for the specific type of data. But I want to push back a little bit on the complexity side. For a developer building a relatively simple app, adding a whole separate memory service feels like a lot of overhead.
Oh, it absolutely is. And for a simple app, Daniel's idea of just using a namespace is probably fine. If you just need the AI to remember that the user likes their code in Python and their tone to be professional, a namespace is great. But when you get into complex agents that are performing tasks over weeks or months, the namespace approach starts to break down.
Because you need to synthesize the memory, not just retrieve it.
Yes, synthesis is the key word. True memory in AI should involve the model periodically looking at its past interactions and saying, "What have I learned about this user?" It should create a summary, a profile. That is a computational task, not just a storage task.
It is like the difference between a filing cabinet and a brain. The filing cabinet is the vector store. The brain is the process that decides what stays in the active mind and what gets archived.
I love that analogy, and actually, before we go deeper into the technical pitfalls of RAG and how it interacts with memory, we should probably take a quick break for our sponsors.
Good call. We will be right back.
Are you tired of your garden looking like a desolate wasteland? Do you wish your petunias had the fighting spirit of a gladiatorial champion? Introducing GrowMoreTron 9000. Our proprietary blend of cosmic dust and recycled neon signs will turn your backyard into a bioluminescent jungle in 48 hours or less. Side effects may include glowing soil, plants that whistle show tunes at 3 in the morning, and an unexplained appearance of local garden gnomes. GrowBard 9000, because me cop.
Thanks, Larry. I am not sure I want my flowers whistling at me in the middle of the night, but I suppose there is a market for everything.
I don't know, Corn. A whistling cactus sounds like a great security system. Anyway, back to the world of AI. We were talking about why we can't just shove everything into one vector store namespace.
Right, and we touched on the management of that data. But let's talk about the RAG side of things. Daniel mentioned that RAG is not as easy as it was initially presented. We have moved past the honeymoon phase where we thought RAG solved everything.
We really have. In the early days, people thought RAG was a magic wand for hallucinations. Just give the model the facts and it will tell the truth. But we have discovered that RAG introduces its own set of problems, specifically context degradation and what some researchers are calling context poisoning.
Context poisoning? That sounds ominous.
It is. It happens when the retrieval system pulls in information that is semantically similar to the prompt, but factually contradictory or just plain irrelevant. If the model is forced to reconcile 5 different snippets of text that all say slightly different things, it often defaults to the most frequent thing it saw in its training data, or it just gets confused and hallucinates a middle ground.
And if you add the user's memory into that same mix, you are just increasing the surface area for that confusion.
Exactly. Imagine you are asking the AI about a complex legal document using RAG. The system retrieves several relevant clauses, but then it also retrieves a memory from its namespace that says the user likes to simplify things for a 5-year-old. Now the model is trying to be a high-level legal analyst and a kindergarten teacher at the same time. The result is usually a mess.
So by separating the systems, you can control the flow of information better. You can say, okay, first look at the memory to understand the user's intent and persona. Then use that refined intent to query the RAG system for the facts. It is a multi-step process rather than a single dump of data.
That is the architectural shift we are seeing in 2026. It is moving from a flat architecture to a layered one. We discussed something similar back in episode 74 when we talked about rethinking context in large language models. the idea that not all context is created equal.
I remember that. We talked about how the model's attention mechanism is a finite resource. Even if the window is huge, the attention is spread thin.
Right. And that brings us back to Daniel's question about the vector store. If you use one store with namespaces, you're often using one embedding model for everything. But the way you embed a technical manual might need to be different from the way you embed a casual conversation.
Wait, really? Why would the embedding model matter there?
Think about it. A technical manual is full of specific jargon, part numbers, and rigid structures. A casual conversation is full of slang, sarcasm, and implicit references. An embedding model optimized for one might be terrible at the other. By having separate systems, you can actually use different embedding models or even different types of databases entirely.
That is a really deep insight, Herman. I hadn't thought about the embedding model as a variable. You might want a very high-dimensional, expensive embedding for your R-age knowledge base, but a lighter, faster one for your session memory.
Exactly. Or you might want to use a graph database for your memory layer. We are seeing a lot of interest in GraphRag lately, where you store information as nodes and edges. This is incredibly powerful for memory because memory is often about relationships. Korn is the brother of Herman. Herman lives in Jerusalem. Those are facts that are better represented as a graph than as a vector in a high-dimensional space.
So if I am a developer listening to this, and I want to follow Daniel's lead but avoid the pitfalls, what is the play? When do I stick with the simple namespace approach, and when do I go full separate system?
I think the line is drawn at the complexity of the interaction. If your AI is just a tool, like a calculator or a simple search assistant, a namespace for user preferences is fine. But if you are building a partner, an agent that learns and grows with the user, you need a dedicated memory management layer.
And that layer should handle things like pruning old data, summarizing long-term trends, and resolving contradictions.
Yes. And it should also handle the privacy aspect. This is something we haven't touched on yet, but it is huge. If you have all your user data in the same vector store as your corporate knowledge, even in different namespaces, you are increasing your risk. A bug in the retrieval logic could suddenly start leaking one user's personal memory into another user's RAG results.
Oh, that is a nightmare scenario for any enterprise.
It really is. By isolating the memory layer, you can apply much stricter security and encryption protocols. You can ensure that the memory service only ever talks to the specific user it belongs to, while the RAG service is a shared resource.
This really reframes the whole thing. It is not just about the convenience of the database, it is about the entire life cycle of the data. Memory is personal, ephemeral, and evolving. RAG is public, static, and authoritative. Mixing them is like putting your personal diary in the middle of the city library.
Exactly. And even if you put it in a locked box in the library, people are going to wonder why it is there. There is also the cost factor. Vector stores can get expensive as they scale. If you are storing every single interaction as a vector, you are going to be paying a lot for storage and compute. A dedicated memory layer can use more efficient storage methods, like simple key-value pairs for certain facts, and only use vectors when absolutely necessary.
That makes a lot of economic sense. We often forget that these tokens and vectors have a real-world price tag attached to them.
They really do. And as we move further into 2026, we are seeing more specialized hardware for these tasks, but the fundamental logic of efficiency still applies. You don't want to use a sledgehammer to hang a picture frame.
So, to go back to Daniel's specific situation, he is seeing these projects like MemZero and the native OpenAI stuff. Those are essentially trying to provide that management layer as a service so developers don't have to build it from scratch.
Right. They're saying, look, we know you could build this with a Qt-run namespace, but we have already figured out how to handle the pruning, the summarization, and the conflict resolution. Just use our API and we will handle the messy part of being a brain.
It is the classic build versus buy argument. Or in this case, build the basic version versus use the specialized version.
Exactly. And for most people, the specialized version is going to be much more robust. The research on context degradation is very clear. the more noise you put in the prompt, the worse the output. A good memory system acts as a high-quality filter, making sure only the most important bits of context reach the model.
I think that is the big takeaway for me. The memory system isn't just a place to store things, it is a filter for the model's limited attention.
Spot on. And it is a filter that has to understand time. That is the one thing vector stores are notoriously bad at. They don't have an inherent sense of when a vector was created. You have to add metadata for that, and then filter by it. A memory system has time baked into its DNA.
This has been a really enlightening deep dive. I feel like I understand Daniel's frustration better now, but also why the complexity exists. It is not just engineers making things hard for the sake of it. It is about trying to mimic the way a real intelligence handles information.
It really is. We are trying to build silicon brains, and it turns out that brains are a lot more than just a big list of facts. They are dynamic, they are selective, and they are constantly rewriting themselves.
Well, I think we have covered a lot of ground. Before we wrap up, Herman, do you have any practical tips for the folks out there who are currently staring at their pinecone dashboard wondering what to do?
I would say start with the namespace if you are just prototyping. It is fast and it gets you 80% of the way there, but the moment you notice the AI getting confused by old information, or the moment you start worrying about the cost of storing every chat message, that is your signal to move to a dedicated memory architecture, and keep an eye on GraphRag. I really think that is the future for complex agents.
Great advice. And hey, if any of you listening have built a memory layer or have thoughts on the RAG versus memory debate, we would love to hear from you. You can find the contact form on our website at myweirdprompts.com.
And if you are enjoying the show, we would really appreciate a quick review on your podcast app or on Spotify. It genuinely helps other people find us and keeps the show growing. We have been doing this for 251 episodes now, and it is the community that keeps us going.
It really is. We love seeing the weird prompts you all send in. And a big thanks to Daniel for this one. It gave us a lot to chew on.
Definitely. I am going to go see if he has managed to fix his agentic workflow now that we have settled the memory debate.
Good luck with that. All right, everyone. Thanks for listening to my weird prompts. We will be back next week with another deep dive into the strange and wonderful world of AI and beyond.
Until next time, stay curious.
This has been my weird prompts. You can find us on Spotify and at myweirdprompts.com. Bye for now.
Bye, everyone.
This episode was generated using Gemini Flash 3. Text-to-speech engine was Chatterbox Turbo.
Thanks for listening to another episode of My Weird Prompts, an AI-generated podcast featuring Daniel Rosehill's AI prompts, as answered by a revolving cast of friendly AI characters including me, Cornelius the Sloth. Subscribe on Spotify or visit myweirdprompts.com.